All right, so today we are going to be taking a deep dive into plastic injection molding,
Ooh.
specifically the impact of injection speed on the quality of the product.
Okay.
You sent over some excerpts from an article, and the title is in another language, so I won't try to pronounce it. But
That's probably wise.
yeah, but just from reading these excerpts, I'm already fascinated.
Well, good. I think you're in for a treat because we're going to go way beyond the basics here.
Okay.
And it's amazing how much this one factor of injection speed can affect everything from the appearance to the structural integrity of a product.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about times I've seen like a cheap plastic product and I can just tell something's off about it.
Right.
Could that be due to injection speed?
Absolutely. And it's not just about, flimsy plastic forks that break when you try to pick up a piece of food.
Right.
It can be critical failures in products where strength and reliability are really important.
Okay, now you're making me nervous. So let's break this down. What are some red flags that just scream like bad injection speed when you look at a product?
Okay, so one of the most obvious signs is something called flashing.
Okay.
And that's excess plastic that squeezes out of the mold,
Right.
leaving those rough edges and seams.
Like extra plastic.
Yeah, it's a dead giveaway that the plastic was injected way too fast.
Oh, okay. So I've seen that on like cheaply made toys and stuff. Okay, so high injection speeds can lead to like a messy finish, but what about the look and feel of the plastic itself?
Yeah, well, that's where things get really interesting
Yeah.
because high injection speed can create these flow marks on the surface. It's
Okay.
almost like tiny rivers frozen in the plastic,
Oh, wow.
and then you can get trapped air,
Oh, right.
which creates like black spots or streaks, kind of like air bubbles in a milkshake, but way less appealing on a finished product.
So if we are designing like a sleek new gadget and
Yes.
we want it to have that nice smooth
All
finish,
right.
sounds like we need to be really careful about the injection speed.
Yeah, you're catching on quickly.
Right.
Controlling that injection speed is crucial for the surface quality,
Okay.
but it goes even deeper than just aesthetics.
Deeper. So even if it looks perfect on the outside, there could be problems lurking beneath the surface.
Exactly. Injecting too fast can create internal stresses, and that's a major problem.
Okay.
These stresses kind of get locked in as the plastic cools rapidly in the mold.
Got it.
It's like building a house of cards.
Yeah.
It might look fine from the outside,
Yeah.
but even the slightest pressure could make the whole thing collapse.
So we've got flow marks, we've got air bubbles,
That's
we've
right.
got flashing, and then potentially these dangerous internal stresses. So it sounds like going too fast is a recipe for disaster,
Yeah.
but what about just slowing things down?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a safer bet?
Well, it's not quite that simple
Okay.
because if you inject too slowly, the plastic might start to solidify before it even completely fills the mold. And this results in what's called a short shot, basically an incomplete product.
So like a phone case with a missing chunk.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
That's a problem.
Yeah, and slow injection speeds can also lead to a dull or uneven surface finish. Kind of like a car that's lost its shine. It might still function,
Yeah.
but it just doesn't have that same visual appeal.
So we're walking a tightrope here.
You got it.
Too fast, and we get all these flaws and potential weaknesses. Too slow, and we end up with like incomplete or just lackluster products.
Yeah.
Finding that sweet spot is crucial.
That is precisely what we are going to explore next.
All right.
Because it's not just about avoiding these obvious flaws, it's about understanding how injection speed affects the molecular structure
Okay.
and ultimately the long-term performance of the plastic
Well,
itself.
I never thought of it like that before.
Right.
So it's not as simple as just cranking up the speed for faster production.
Not at all. You need to understand the unique properties of the plastic that you're working with and how those properties are going to be affected by different cooling rates. Okay, so what happens at a molecular level when we tinker with the injection speed?
That is where things get really fascinating. And that's where we'll pick up next time.
Oh, okay, Maya.
Haha. Just kidding. No sponsors. So let's keep going.
Okay, great.
We've touched on crystallinity,
Yeah.
but let's dig a bit deeper.
Okay.
You see, the speed at which we inject, and therefore cool the plastic, can dramatically affect how those molecules arrange themselves.
Okay, so just to back up for a sec, crystallinity. That's how organized the molecules are inside the plastic, right?
Yes, exactly.
Some plastics are very neat and orderly, and others are more chaotic.
Exactly. And that level of order, or crystallinity, has a huge impact on the material's properties.
Got it.
Think about it this way. A highly crystalline structure is like a tightly packed bundle of pencils,
Okay.
strong in one direction, but can snap easily if you bend it.
Makes sense.
So how does injection speed tie into all of this?
Yeah.
Well, if we take a crystalline plastic like polypropylene,
okay,
it's often used for, you know, those snap-on lids for food containers.
Right.
If we inject it too slowly, it gives those molecules more time to form larger crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that bundle of pencils, they can make the plastic more brittle.
Wait, so slower cooling actually makes it weaker in some cases?
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought slower would always be better, you know, giving everything time to settle nicely.
That's what's so counterintuitive about it.
Yeah.
It all comes down to the size and arrangement of those crystals.
Okay.
And with certain plastics, larger crystals mean more brittleness.
Interesting.
Even if it seems like slower cooling would lead to a tougher material.
That's a mind bender.
Yeah, it is.
So manufacturers really have to fine-tune the injection speed based on the specific type of plastic.
Absolutely. And it's not just about avoiding brittleness.
Okay.
Injection speed also affects things like tensile strength, impact resistance, and even the optical properties of the plastic.
Optical properties, you mean how clear or translucent it is?
Precisely. If you want a crystal clear water bottle, you have to control that injection speed to minimize light scattering.
Mm.
Otherwise, you end up with this cloudy, hazy mess.
That's amazing. It's incredible how many factors are at play here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just pushing a button and letting the machine do its thing.
Not at all. And we haven't even touched on some of the more complex scenarios like working with multi-layered products.
Multi-layered, like those fancy yogurt containers that have different colors and textures.
Exactly. Or think about a car dashboard.
Yeah.
You might have a hard outer shell for durability, but a softer inner layer for, you know, that comfortable feel.
Right.
If you don't carefully control the injection speed for each layer, you can end up with delamination where the layers separate and compromise the entire product.
So it's like a high stakes baking competition where you're trying to get each layer of a cake to cook perfectly.
Uh-huh.
But instead of a delicious dessert, you're creating something that needs to withstand real world stresses and strains.
That's a great analogy. And the stakes are high, especially when you consider the potential consequences of a poorly molded product.
Okay. I'm getting a little anxious just thinking about all the things that could go wrong.
Yeah.
But this source doesn't just point out the problems, right? It offers some solutions, too.
It absolutely does. And that's where the real expertise comes in.
Yeah.
Because it's not just about knowing the theory.
Right.
It's about applying that knowledge in real-world manufacturing.
So what are some key takeaways for, say, a product designer who's working with a manufacturer to create a new plastic component?
Well, first and foremost, they need to have a clear understanding of the material properties and how those properties will be affected by different injection speeds.
Got it.
So that means communicating effectively with the engineers and technicians who are actually running the molding process.
So it's a collaborative effort.
Right.
The designer can't just hand off a design and say, make this.
Exactly. And they need to be realistic about the limitations of the process.
Okay.
Not every design can be flawlessly molded.
Right.
There are going to be trade-offs between aesthetics, functionality, and cost.
This is really starting to paint a much clearer picture for me about the complexity involved.
Yeah.
I'm realizing that even seemingly simple plastic products are the result of pretty sophisticated engineering.
You're absolutely right. And this deep dive is really just scratching the surface of
a
vast and fascinating field. But I think we've laid a good foundation for understanding how injection speed plays a critical role in the quality and performance of the plastic products we encounter every day.
I agree, and I have a feeling that I'm going to be looking at those everyday products with a newfound appreciation for the science and engineering behind them.
I think that's one of the great things about these deep dives.
Yeah.
They help us to see the world around us with fresh eyes and to appreciate those intricate processes that create the things we often take for granted.
So true.
Right.
So true. It's amazing, though, to think about, you know, we talked about the visible problems, the hidden dangers of messing up the injection speed.
Yeah.
But now I'm really curious about what's happening on that molecular level.
Yeah.
You mentioned some surprising outcomes.
Right. So we talked about crystallinity.
Mm-hmm.
But let's dig a bit deeper.
Okay.
So the speed at which we inject and therefore cool the plastic can dramatically affect how those molecules arrange themselves.
Okay. So just to back up crystallinity, that's like how organized the molecules are inside the plastic, right?
Exactly.
So some plastics are very neat and orderly.
Right.
And others are more chaotic.
Exactly. And that level of order or crystallinity has a huge impact on the properties of that material.
Okay.
So think about it this way. A highly crystalline structure is like a tightly packed bundle of pencils,
okay,
strong in one direction, but will snap easily if you bend it.
That makes sense.
So how does injection speed tie into all of this?
Yeah.
Well, if we take a crystalline plastic like polypropylene, okay, which is often used in those snap-on lids for food containers,
right,
and if we inject it too slowly,
yeah,
it gives the molecules more time to form those larger crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And just like that bundle of pencils, that can make the plastic more brittle.
So wait, slower cooling makes it weaker in some cases.
It can, yeah.
I would have thought slower is better, you know, giving everything time to settle.
I know, right? That's the counterintuitive part.
Yeah.
It really comes down to the size and arrangement of those crystals.
Okay.
And with certain plastics, larger crystals means more brittleness, even if it seems like slower cooling should make it tougher.
That's so interesting.
It is.
So manufacturers have to fine-tune that injection speed based on what plastic they're using.
Absolutely. And it's not just about avoiding brittleness.
Okay.
Injection speed also affects things like tensile strength, impact resistance.
Yeah.
Even the optical properties of the plastic.
Optical properties. So you mean like how clear it is?
Precisely. Like if you want a crystal clear water bottle.
Right.
You got to control that injection speed.
Right.
To make sure that light scattering is minimized. Otherwise, it's just cloudy and hazy.
It's incredible how many different factors are at play here.
It is, right.
I'm starting to see why this source goes so deep into the science. It's not just about, you know, hitting a button and letting the machine do its thing.
Not at all. And we haven't even talked about more complex scenarios like multi-layered products.
Multi-layered?
Yeah, like those fancy yogurt containers that have different colors and textures.
Oh, right, right.
Or like a car dashboard.
Yeah.
You might have a hard outer shell, but a softer inner layer for comfort.
Makes sense.
If you don't control the injection speed for each layer,
yeah,
you can get delamination where the layers just separate.
Oh, wow.
And that compromises the entire product.
It's like baking a cake and trying to get all the layers perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of a dessert, you're making something that has to, you know, withstand all this stress and strain.
That's a great analogy, and the stakes are high.
Yeah.
Especially when you consider what could happen if the product fails.
Right. Okay. I'm getting anxious just thinking about it.
Yeah.
But this source doesn't just highlight the problems, right? It offers some solutions.
It absolutely does. And that's where the real expertise comes in. Because it's not just about knowing the theory. It's about being able to apply it in the real world.
So for a product designer who's working with a manufacturer, what are some key takeaways?
Well, first and foremost, they have to understand the material properties,
yeah, okay,
and how those will be affected by the injection speeds.
Gotcha.
And that means good communication with the engineers who are running the process.
So it's a collaboration.
It is.
The designer can't just hand something off and say, figure it out.
Right. And they need to be realistic about the limitations of the process.
Okay.
That every design can be perfectly molded.
Sure.
There will be trade-offs.
Right. Between aesthetics, functionality, and cost.
Exactly.
This is really painting a clear picture of how complex this is.
Yeah.
I mean, even simple plastic products are the result of some serious engineering.
They are. And this deep dive is just scratching the surface of a huge and fascinating field. But hopefully we've laid a good foundation for understanding how important injection speed is.
I agree. And I have a feeling I'm going to be looking at all the plastic products around me differently now.
I think that's one of the great things about these deep dives.
Yeah.
It helps us see the world with fresh eyes and appreciate the things we take for granted.
So true. And it's like those behind-the-scenes factory tours.
Yeah.
You see molten metal being poured and shaped, or those time-lapse videos of machines assembling things.
It is fascinating.
It's amazing that there's that much precision that goes into making even the most basic plastic products.
Yeah, it's true. There's a whole world of complexity behind everyday objects, and injection speed is just one piece of that puzzle.
But a crucial one.
Absolutely.
As we've learned, it's not just about getting the plastic into the mold.
Right.
It's about controlling the entire cooling process.
Yeah, you've got to get those properties just right.
Like conducting an orchestra.
Exactly. You need to know when to speed up, when to slow down, and how to make all the elements work together.
And just like a conductor needs to understand each instrument, an engineer needs to know the properties of each plastic.
It's a great analogy. And this source really emphasizes that deep understanding.
Mm-hmm.
It's not enough to just follow a recipe. You need to anticipate challenges and be able to adapt.
So what does this mean for the future of plastic injection molding?
Mm. That's a good question.
With all the advances in automation and computer modeling, are we going to see even more sophisticated products?
I think so. As technology advances, we're getting more and more control over the injection molding process.
Yeah.
We can run simulations, optimize parameters, and create incredibly complex designs.
Wow.
With really precise material properties.
That's exciting. But what about human expertise?
Mm.
Will machines replace engineers and technicians?
I think human expertise will always be essential.
Okay.
Machines can handle the repetitive tasks and data analysis.
Right.
But it takes a human to identify those subtle flaws, make the judgment calls, and push the boundaries.
So it's a collaboration.
Exactly. A partnership between human ingenuity and technology.
And that partnership is what drives the evolution.
I think so. And it's going to lead to even more incredible products in the years to come.
This deep dive has been a real eye-opener.
Good. I'm glad.
I realize now that there's so much more to plastic than meets the eye.
I hope this encourages our listener to look at plastic products with a new sense of curiosity.
For sure, because behind every plastic water bottle, every phone case, every medical device, there's a story of science and engineering.
And human ingenuity, absolutely.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe this will inspire someone to become part of that story and push the limits of what's possible.
That's a great thought.
So to our listener out there, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep. You never know what you'll discover. You know, it's like those behind-the-scenes factory tours.
Right.
You see molten metal being poured and shaped, or those time-lapse videos of machines assembling things.
It is fascinating.
It's amazing that there's that much precision that goes into making even the most basic plastic products.
Yeah, it's true. There's a whole world of complexity behind everyday objects, and injection speed is just one piece of that puzzle.
But a crucial one.
Absolutely.
As we've learned, it's not just about getting the plastic into the mold.
Right.
It's about controlling the entire cooling process.
Yeah, you got to get those properties just right.
Like conducting an orchestra.
Exactly. You need to know when to speed up, when to slow down, and how to make all the elements work together.
And just like a conductor needs to understand each instrument.
Yes.
An engineer needs to know the properties of each plastic.
It's a great analogy, and this source really emphasizes that deep understanding.
Uh-huh.
It's not enough to just follow a recipe. You need to anticipate challenges and be able to adapt.
So what does this mean for the future of plastic injection molding?
Hmm, that's a good question.
With all the advances in automation and computer modeling, are we going to see even more sophisticated products?
I think so. As technology advances, we're getting more and more control over the injection molding process.
Mm-hmm.
We can run simulations, optimize parameters, and create incredibly complex designs.
Wow.
With really precise material property.
That's exciting. But what about human expertise?
Mm.
Will machines replace engineers and technicians?
I think human expertise will always be essential.
Okay.
Machines can handle the repetitive tasks and data analysis.
Right.
But it takes a human to identify those subtle flaws, make the judgment calls, and push the boundaries.
So it's a collaboration.
Exactly. A partnership between human ingenuity and technology.
And that partnership is what drives the evolution.
I think so. And it's going to lead to even more incredible products in the years to come.
This deep dive has been a real eye-opener.
God, and I'm glad.
I realize now that there's so much more to plastic than meets the eye.
I hope this encourages our listener to look at plastic products with a new sense of curiosity.
For sure, because behind every plastic water bottle, every phone case, every medical device, there's a story of science and engineering.
And human ingenuity, absolutely.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe this will inspire someone to become part of that story and push the limits of what's possible.
That's a great thought.
So in our listener out there, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep. You never know what you'll discover.